Good morning, everyone. I'm Cressa Sisu, and I'm a member of the First Victoria Unitarian here in Victoria, and I'm pleased to serve as your worship associate today. Sharing the worship leadership with me this morning is our tech team. Now that we have to go to tech teams, we have Victoria, David Best, Lynn Bonner, Bill Glassman, Jamie, and Wally, and we really appreciate all their support this morning. Today's Father's Day. And to anyone and everyone who celebrates it, whether today you honor a father, a grandfather, a father figure, or another caregiver in your life, whether you are a father or a parent or another gender, as a community, we honor you and those in your circle of care. So happy Father's Day. And we welcome all visitors always, and any new visitors today, please use the chat box to let us know who you are and how did you find us. And check our website for upcoming events or contact our church to ask or receive an e-weekly. It's very informative, that newsletter. Email address is in your chat box. So some announcements this morning. We have today our annual general meeting for our FUCV, and it is at 11:45, and it'll follow this morning's service. Bring your agenda. It was sent to you from the church office on Thursday, June 18th, and under the name of Reverend Shauna. And the Zoom links will all be in the chat box for the annual general meeting. I have a few more announcements this morning. We have about our kids program. This summer, our congregation is partnering with other congregations in the Pacific Northwest to offer a range of UU kids camps over the summer. Each week, we'll explore UU values, spiritual practices, and social justice through a different method such as food, theater, dance, or Minecraft. And also social justice story time will continue through the summer and will start at 8:15 starting tomorrow. And all ages are welcome. And the Pride Party. There you go. Got a beautiful slide for that. LGBTQ folks and allies are invited to an all ages UU Pride Party on Zoom. You are welcome to invite family and friends from any geographic location to register to and join at the party. This will follow our Pride worship service in lieu of our usual participation in the Pride Parade. Be sure to dress up for the party, rainbow sparkles, bow ties, or anything else that makes you feel truly fabulous. We'll have a little bit of everything, learning, sharing, and caring through small group check-ins, party games, stories, music, and a dance party. What was my favorite? See our Facebook event or weekly for more information. And I think I just have one more announcement here. This is from Sue Ellen. Our auction is in two parts this year. The online auction has made $16,139. Woohoo! And part two is the matching challenge. Send a donation to the church, a marked auction donation, and a group of church members will match your donation up to $7,000. So that's really good. Thank you to everyone who has supported the auction so far. And to begin our service, we have invited Evelyn Peters to light our chalice in honor of the National Indigenous People's Day, which is today, June 21st. Evelyn was one of the facilitators of the Indigenous Film Discussion Group this past spring. She and Karen Christie from Capital UU Congregation are offering a repeat of that program this fall and will also be co-leading our Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation Learning and Action Team. So over to you, Evelyn.
Thanks, Krista, and good morning, everybody. National Aboriginal Day, now National Indigenous Peoples Day, was announced in 1996 by then Governor of Canada, Romeo LeBlanc. This is a day for all Canadians to recognize and celebrate the unique heritage, diverse cultures, and outstanding contributions of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. It's important to recognize the history of colonialism, its ongoing legacy, and our role in both perpetuating and challenging it. We've taken a number of steps as a congregation to educate ourselves about this legacy. Today is a bit different. National Indigenous Day is an opportunity to acknowledge Indigenous peoples' contributions, what we have gained from their presence, and how they continue to enrich our enjoyment of this beautiful land and our lives in this country. In this spirit, I acknowledge that we live and worship in unceded Coast Salish territory of the Lekwungen and Wasanich nations. Métis and Inuit people also live in this city, although these are not their traditional territories. We seek a new relationship with First Nations, Métis, and Inuit of this land, one based in honor and deep respect. May the spirit of life be in the work we are undertaking to seek truth, healing, and reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples on this land. If you have a chalice near you, I invite you to light it now with me. If not, you can share mine. Let us kindle the flame of our faith in honor of Indigenous Peoples Day. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Evelyn, for joining us today. And now our music director, Nick Fairbank, will share with us a new virtual chalice choir creation. Zoom requires us to be muted, but please do sing along.
Draw the circle, draw the circle wide.
Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide.
Draw the circle.
Fantastic. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Nick. Did you notice how Nick made the faces in a circle for draw the circle wide in the middle there? That was fantastic. Good morning. I'm Reverend Melora Lingood, co-minister of the First Unitarian Church of Victoria. It is so very good to see you all out there again in your Zoom windows. Just seeing your faces warms my heart every time. You may have noticed that the newsletter blurb for this Sunday asked you to bring a comfort object to this service. Our theme this month is compassion, and as you know, we are better able to be compassionate with one another if we are also compassionate with ourselves. It's been a rough road lately for many of us. We need to be gentle with ourselves, kind, forgiving, and if possible, take a bit of time for self-comfort. A cup of tea, a good novel, sitting outside under a favorite tree. The comfort object I brought with me today is something that I've had since I was 2 years old. I can see whether this is working. I can show you quickly. Here it is. This is my fluffy pillow. I can hear Shauna laughing upstairs. This is my fluffy pillow. I'm not sure why I called it fluffy, because it has always been flat and floppy, but it is soft and has a comforting, homey scent. I used to sleep with it every night. I don't anymore, but I still feel the softness. I find the softness of it comforting. So now let's all switch to gallery view so we can see one another. If you brought a comfort object, hold it up to the screen and keep it there so that we can show each other our comfort object. Keep it there, and then you might have to scroll through the pages so you can see everybody's various comfort objects. See what we got there. We've got crystals. We've got tapestry. Got a mug. Wow, animals. Oh, Philip and Maria have one another. Lovely. Stuffed animals. Oh, so many stuffed animals. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Keep those things near you and enjoy the comfort they bring throughout the service. For now, let's switch back to speaker view so we can see Aaron Little, our Director of Spiritual Exploration and Learning for Children and Youth, as he shares the story for all ages.
So this morning, we will share, I'm going to share a story called The Invisible Web. The very best news ever has begun to spread around the world. One heart at a time, shout it out from the mountaintops. Every single one of us is connected to those who we love by invisible streams. This means Giovanni and her daddy are always together, even though he moved to a new house. Omar can feel the tug of love from his parents, even though he is living far away at college. Mr. Chang still feels Mrs. Chang close by, even though she died such a very long time ago. And you, at this very moment, may feel a string of someone close to you, even though they aren't there. You can't see it, but it's real. Our strings reach to everyone we know. They travel far and wide to families and friends, to neighbors and classmates and coaches and bus drivers and babysitters and pets and aunts and uncles and grandchildren and grandparents and congregants and everybody else. And all of those people also have hundreds of strings. Soaring high over rocky peaks and across the seven seas, deep into jungles and valleys, and winding around the busiest cities, all these strings crisscross one another and create a nest that covers the planet, interlacing us together, cradling us forever. The web has no borders and wraps every continent. Within it lives butterflies and fish and stars and seahorses, lions and ants, rivers and snowstorms, and all human beings. Giovanni, Omar, Mr. Chang, and of course, you and me too. Some say it even reaches to our ancestors and those we cherish in the beyond. One tug on the string sends love to every one of us woven together in this divine tapestry. And that means just one good deed travels across the entire web, because everything is linked, as we know from our seventh principle. And I'm going to pause the story here for a second. And I'm going to ask us to take a minute to think about the people who we are connected to by our invisible strings. It could be people in your home or in our congregation, It could be friends and family that live far away, or ones that live nearby but feel far away right now because we can't see them as much as we'd like to. It could be animals or plants or any other being we share the planet with. So if you want to think about who you're connected to and type it in the chat box, we can see how far our webs spread. So Jane, one of her connections is Emma in Ottawa, and Caroline's connected to her dad in Ontario as well. Krista's connected to her dad in California, and Marg is connected to people all over Canada. Kathleen to family in Switzerland and New Zealand. Cressa to Finland and Germany. Hayden says family, grandparents, Nana and Papa, and their sibling. Harry said their friends in England. Michael and Caroline, Catherine, Nick, Ian, Alistair, Alex, all far from home. Jim says cousins in England. Maureen's connections spread all the way to Nepal and Bali, and David Jordan to family in Nigeria. And they're moving so fast I can't even keep up with them. Our web stretches so far all around the world. And that's just from the people in this Zoom room. So when we think about how many people they're connected to, we can really start to get a sense of this covering the web. So let's return to our story. So unfortunately, sometimes people forget. When they can't feel their strings, they forget about our invisible web. And that's when our strings can get tangled up. Like when Stefano is sad, he wishes his friend Marcos wasn't so bossy when they played. Or when Mrs. Patel struggles at work without help and she just wants to quit. Even violence and war can erupt when too many of us forget the web. When strings are ignored, they can become weak and begin to unravel. But the more people who care for the web, the stronger it remains. The web feels like every loving person since the beginning of time, holding and protecting each one of us in a million gentle arms. What can be stronger than all those hands holding us close? If we remember the web and tug it often, no one will be left out. We will see others more clearly. The people of the world will look into each other's eyes. They will smile at one another. And when one of them cries, they will want to help. And they do. Marco apologizes to Stefano and forgives his friend, and they have even more fun playing. Someone helps Mrs. Patel at work and tells her what a great job she's doing, and she remembers she's important and feels happy. Invisible web is alive. Its time is right now. It breathes as we breathe, pulsating all over our earth, the single heartbeat of life and love. And you know what that makes us all? One very big family. P.S. I love being right here in this middle of the invisible web with you. And now Nick will share a video of our cellist choir, recorded back in November of 2018, when they were invited to perform at St. Elizabeth's Roman Catholic Church in Sydney. Again, though we'll be muted, please feel free to sing along.
When we walk, when we
That was wonderful. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Chalice Choir. It's good to see you. Now we come to our candle ritual of transition. Life is change. In our annual ritual of transition, we acknowledge some of the changes that have affected each of us over the past year. Yesterday was summer solstice, the longest day of the year and the shortest night. The earth shifts again, as it does every year. A good time to take stock, reflect back over the past year, not just in the past month since COVID hit, but the whole past year. For many of you, there were likely significant things that happened for you before COVID. You might take a moment to think about that now. How has this past year been for you? What changes have affected you and those you love? I will name in turn four different kinds of life transitions: birth, death, other loss, and new chapters, completions, or new beginnings. As I lead us through each one, whenever I name a change that has affected you over the course of this past year, I invite you to place a hand over your heart, adults and kids too. And if you wish, I invite you to name that change in the chat. I'll read a few of those postings out loud. If a given change doesn't affect you personally, I invite you to join me in holding your fellow congregants in love. Aaron will light a candle for each of our transitions as we go. Let's breathe in, breathe out. Let us begin by acknowledging those among us who have been affected by the arrival of a new life. If in the past year or so, a child has been or will soon be adopted or born into whatever you consider to be your extended family, a child, a grandchild, nieces, nephews, cousins, I invite you to type into the chat their name and their relation to you. Then place your hand over your heart and keep it there. If you don't wish to share in the chat, just hold your hand over your heart. We hold in our hearts and welcome to this world. Molly's grandson, baby James, born last August. Our new grandson, Oliver Nickel, for Mary Ellen and Bruce. Godson's son, Samuel, who was born 2 months ago. Baby Ferguson, baby Sophia, born in May, to Mariko's family. Indy, great niece, to Christine. Molly Marie and Willow, Roberta's grandnieces. Madeline Hancock, a granddaughter to the Hancocks. All of you who have welcomed in this past year new life, we light this candle for you, for the gift of tiny fingers and tiny toes, for the disruption of schedule and routine of life as the way it was, for the excitement and wonder of watching a little package of a person slowly unfold into its own unique splendor, for the way your heart becomes more vulnerable when it attaches itself to the fate of a fragile new life. We hold you in our love. Blessed be. We acknowledge also those among us who have been affected by a death of a loved one. We acknowledge that for those deaths that happened since March, whether the cause was COVID or not, for many of us, COVID has made it harder to accompany those we love through their dying. And once the death has happened, COVID has made it harder to accompany one another through the grieving. If in the past year or so, someone in your life has died, I invite you to type into the chat their name and their relation to you. Then place your hand over your heart and keep it there. If you don't wish to share in the chat, just hold your hand over your heart. We hold in our hearts David's Aunt Hazel, alone in lockdown in her care home in her 101st year, Jen Young's mother and father and her only aunt, Catherine Moss's friend Joan, Bobby Kovar's daughter Sherry, Madeleine's father, Nancy Gray Hemstock's brother Jim and cousin Bill, Marg Rose, who knew gentle Jan at our place, Anna Grant's mother, Sheila McCormick is remembering Rick Wilson, Michael is remembering John Smith, Julie is remembering Jen's son Craig, John and Gloria Hopewell are remembering Aunt Nellie, 107 in the UK. Laura Porcher is remembering her dearest friend, Mary. Giselle is remembering her friend, Jewel, and brother, Phil. Mary Bircher is remembering her friend, Jack, 105. Mike is remembering Ellen Nielsen. Jan Thompson is remembering Jim Hackler. Heather and family are remembering Daryl and Derek. Karen Furness is remembering Aunt Florence. Sheila McCormick is remembering Marion McPherson, a dear friend. Heather and family are remembering Jamie and her 7-month-old baby and their neighbors. Roberta is remembering Ted Humphreys. And Sister Everdeen in Holland as well. We light this candle for you, all of you, for your loss, for your grief, for any complicated emotions that may accompany the grief, and for healing. We hold you in our love. Blessed be. Breathe in, breathe out. Now we acknowledge those among us who have been affected by any other kind of loss. COVID has taken away so much. Losses include loss of income, loss of regular schooling, loss of the ability to make plans to visit faraway relatives, and non-COVID related losses have been in some ways harder to bear. Breakups, loss of employment, loss of health. If in the past year or so you have experienced a loss that feels significant to you, I invite you to hold your hand over your heart and, if you wish, share that loss in the chat. We hold in our communal care these losses. Post-thyroidectomy, loss of voice, income, and loss of a home, having to move to a new place, loss of making music in groups, separation, cancer, not seeing children, loss of identity in familial and vocational contexts, the ambiguous loss of a mother with progressive dementia, loss of grocery shopping, loss of meaningful life, loss of personal contact, hugging friends, We light this candle for all of you, for your loss, for sorrow, for frustration, also for resiliency, for courage, for the ability to adjust and adapt. We hold you in love. Blessed be. Lastly, we acknowledge those among us who have recently completed something significant and or are beginning something new. Place your hand over your heart if you are graduating from a school or completing a grade level, if you have retired from a job, if you have completed a big project like writing a book, Sue Ellen, or stepped down from a volunteer position. Place your hand over your heart if you are finishing anything that feels significant to you. And place your hand over your heart also if you are starting something new, a new school, a new grade level, a new job or new project, a new relationship, or any new adventure. If you wish, I invite you to type into the chat what you have completed and or what you are beginning. We hold in our communal care these completions and new beginnings. Suzanne's mother's move, a new farm for the Petrel family. Cleaning up our garage, building a workshop. All of you board members completing terms. Leaving the country I lived in for 46 years and starting a new life here in Canada. Welcome, David and Emily Teets. Credentialing, yay, Aaron, officially credentialed as a religious educator in our UU world. A new relationship and potentially a new job. Online certification in Hannah Somatics, Madeleine. Joining mutual aid groups, administrating a huge Facebook group, growing a new garden from Dawn. Lynn Bonner's daughter's completion of her first term at college online. Lynn Hunter working with a new hip. Yay, Lynn Hunter and your new hip. Hayden finishing kindergarten and beginning grade one. Anna Grant joined Gage Gallery, an artist collective. We light this candle for all of you, for accomplishments, for endings, for shifts in identity, for the wondering what comes next, for the excitement and nervousness, the possibilities, the unknown. We hold you in love. Blessed be. And let us light one last candle for all of us. Everyone, place your hand on your hearts, your poor, strong, tender hearts. We have been through the ringer lately. So much change, so much uncertainty, and a lot of it deeply upsetting. Our heart aches for our fragile earth. Our heart aches for one another, for the ways in which racism and colonialism has been causing pain for centuries, for all the people shouting, enough is enough. Our hearts ache. And so this last candle is for all of us, and the ways in which we might use our own light to bring more love to this world we share. Through all the changes, those that happen to us and those that we make happen, through all the changes, may each of you know that you are a gift to this world. May we support one another in this Unitarian Universalist community, holding one another through all the ups and downs that come our way. Life calls us on. Love calls us on. Let us sing. Nick will lead us on piano. Bill will share the lyrics.
now we gather, for the blessings now we know, with a pledge to one another, that we journey not alone. Joy and sorrow make us wise, kin to all that lives and dies. Life calls us on, love calls us on. Words and deeds of those before us waken here to keep us strong. Blend our voices in the chorus of creation's living song. Courage bids us lift our eyes upward to the shining skies. Hope calls us on, life calls us on.
As many of you know, our congregation is in the process of formulating COVID restart guidelines, a plan that helps us connect in safe ways while following the directives of BC and Dr. Bonnie Henry. Over the course of the past month or so, I've been in many meetings, listening to various groups of congregants discuss the formation of these guidelines, and then in the forums, listening to people respond to the guidelines that were sent out last week. I shared my screen too soon. I'd like to be able to see you. That's better. So I've been in all these meetings, listening to people respond to the guidelines and figure out how to formulate the guidelines. Emotions are high and opinions are all over the map. What is most important to me is how we walk through this process together. I think this tension is bubbling up in families and friend groups too. It seems like the opening up brings more conflict than the shutting down. It stirs up the deepest emotions. All the longings for freedom, the longings for connection, and all the fears. Emotions and opinions all over the map. For me personally, more important than what our guidelines end up saying is how we treat one another as we work this out together. I know we can work it out. We've done it before, in part because we remember and honor that those differing opinions are rooted in the same common deep devotion to sustaining this community and living our faith. Whatever the guidelines end up being, this is a time for doubling down on creative ways to reach out to one another, to care for one another and the world we share. I put a piece in the eWeekly a while back asking you to send me examples of ways in which you have been doing this already, reaching out to one another and caring for this world we share. I'd like to show them with you now. As you look at the examples, you may wish to think about the things that you too have done to care for others in this time. And think about also what else you might like to do as we move forward. Homemade cards are always a lovely thing to give someone. Here are some cards that Matthias and Aaron made for their mother. And here is a heart cake that they baked to make a regular day special. Mary and Pat's daughter, Ashley, who now lives in California, surprised her parents with a delivered gift from Bolin Books, books for each of her parents and her two brothers, Logan and Elliot, as well as a family game. Back in March, Aaron delivered coloring packages to the doorsteps of all of the kids in our congregation. That Sunday on Zoom, they colored cards to be mailed to elders in our congregation. Here is a card that Phyllis Gerard received in the mail from Hazel. Here's David Vest expressing gratitude for his card on our congregation's Facebook group. Check out the drawing on the back. Someone put serious care into making that card. Another kind thing people like Nicole have been doing during COVID is taking turns reading at Social Justice Storytime, which will continue during the summer, now at 8:15 every day except Sunday. Lindsay, who started Social Justice Storytime, took random acts of kindness to a whole new level. She and her kids have been surprising church friends all over town with chalk messages outside their homes. They did this one for Roberta's birthday. Here you can see baby Corby as well as Roberta, Finn, and Lindsay. They did this one for Nancy Dobbs, and this one for Astrid and Andy. Meanwhile, our Care and Concern team was hard at work, reaching out the old-fashioned way, calling congregants on the telephone, especially those who are not connecting with computers. Our Care and Concern team could use some help, by the way. If you would like to serve your neighborhood group as a Care and Concern coordinator, or if you'd like to help out in smaller ways, please contact Care and Concern Chair Barbara Boyle. Here is one of the tried and true ways we care for one another in our congregation. Here you see Phyllis, back when she was in the hospital in early March, wrapped in one of our Clouti quilts made by a church quilter using Clouti strips of fabric that are imbued with the joys and concerns of the congregation. When someone is done with the quilt, it gets washed and passed along to the next person who needs it. When our Soul Matters groups moved to Zoom, we kept on with our heart wish tradition. And any of you can do this for anyone. You ask them in the days and weeks ahead, what do you need? They might answer something like patience. You write patience and their name on a heart, and you put that heart in a place where you will see it each day. Every time you see the heart, you wish patience for them. You might even send them a text or two. May you be blessed with patience. Then check in with them a week or two later. I have a whole collection of heart wishes around my chalice in my home office. It grounds me in a sense of connection and care. Another way many of us have been expressing our care and gratitude is by cheering on the frontline workers at 7 p.m. every night. Here's Barbara Boyle doing her part. Many of us have put hearts in our windows as well. These photos are from Catherine Moss and Mary Kramer. Mary Ellen made a quilted heart to pin on their home. Betty Sherwood sewed these two hearts, hung them in her tree by the road, and wrote this poem. Gratitude. Two hearts float from the wild cherry tree in the evening breeze. Gratitude to those who choose to save lives in dangerous times. No banging of pots, trumpets, loud shouting, just a gentle whisper. Thank you. Thank you. Marg Rowe sent this photo of local philanthropist David Green donating 1,200 masks to Our Place Society paramedics. Marg says the masks enable them to do wellness checks and administer naloxone and other close encounters of the medical kind. She writes, it saves lives. It's so touching to work with such generous people. Carla Thompson has been keeping busy with multiple caring projects, baking and delivering casseroles, grocery shopping for neighbors. Here she is at her sewing machine, making a quilt to donate to hospice. Carla has also made masks for all of the neighbors in her building. She says, fortunately, it is a small building. On the theme of crafts of kindness, Matthias and Aaron surprised friends by planting homemade wooden hearts in their yards. Imagine the delight and wonder when the heart suddenly appeared. Is there such a thing as a heart fairy? Animals need kindness too. I'm told that Sophia is very kind and caring to her new chickens. Leslie Duthie offered this example of care. I made soup for my friend who was sad. Brenda's friends and coworkers drove by her house to show support. with these signs decorating their cars. Brenda and Bernard both start with the letter B, so they were dubbed the B Team as a couple, and now their whole family is the B Team. Astrid shared this story, quote, she says, "I went to a dollar store in early March looking for elastic to sew masks. The cashier commented on the mask I was wearing. When I told her that I was sewing them, she thought I had just made them for family and friends. I assured her that I was happy to make them for anyone who needed one and asked her if she would like one. She worked totally unprotected without a plexiglass guard. She looked a bit doubtful when I promised to make one for her. When I dropped off the mask a few days later, she could hardly believe it. And there was no charge for it. She could hardly believe that there was no charge for it. Astrid just said, just pay it forward." Astrid has now made over 100 masks, many of them for church members, and a generous donor has been giving to the church auction for every mask she makes. Astrid wrote, "The mask project may sound selfless and caring, but it actually saved me. It allowed me to be creative, have contact, and contribute to the church. It was tailor-made." We care for one another. We also reach out to care for the larger world. Many of us were at the Black Lives Matter rally 2 weeks ago. It was a powerful call to awareness and action. Many of you were there in person. And some of you watched the live feed via Facebook. Here are Nolan and Matea watching videos about racism and white privilege while making signs to hang in their front windows. I will mention here that in the fall, in addition to the repeat of the Indigenous Films discussion series, and in addition to the work of the Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation team, we will also be piloting a new online version of this UU program called Beloved Conversations. It will be an opportunity for learning, deep introspection, and conversation about race and racism. So much is stirring in our hearts and minds. It will be good to dig deep together. We are connected to one another by invisible strings. Even when we are not together physically, we can reach out to care for one another and this world we share. The world is shifting under our feet. Let us dance with it, move with it, change with it. Remember the closing words of our congregation's mission? We strive to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. I invite you to listen to this next song as a sort of a meditation. Let the music wash over you. The song was written several years ago, but it has gained a recent resurgence in popularity. Words are in the chat if you'd like to sing along. Nick will share the video for us now. This version features the Thrive Choir based in Oakland, California.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle around to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change of life from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these vines. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
Yay.
It is time now. It is time now. Let us learn to lead in love. Let us prepare for our communal heart blessing. Switch to gallery view. Get close to your screen. If you're able to bring your comfort object close to your heart as you hold your heart, you can do that. Otherwise, just keep it on your lap as you place one hand on your heart and the other up toward the screen. Here we are, making the invisible strings palpable. Close your eyes and breathe in. Keep breathing. Focus inward. Focus in on all the tender feelings that stir in your heart, all the cares that you carry. Breathe in. And then as you breathe out, open your eyes and look at all those faces on the screen. Mentally wish them well. May you be well. May you be well. May you be well. May your comfort object now be a concrete reminder of the invisible strings that connect us all. We are in this together, taking care of one another and our larger world. When it gets hard for you, remember, you are not alone. You are held by this Unitarian Universalist community. Let us extinguish our chalices as we prepare to sing Carry the Flame.
Carry the flame of peace and love and spirit.
During this time of meeting virtually and not having an offering plate, it is more important than ever that the congregation continues to receive your support. If you are able, please continue to give to the church and keep up with your 2020 pledge. You can give by mailing a check to the church or by clicking the donate button on your website, and we will have the link posted in the chat line. So to give the AGM folks time to set up, there will be no breakout rooms today. The AGM begins at 11:45, so you have minutes to make a donation, get some tea, and settle into the annual general meeting. And all the links will be in the chat line. So thanks to everyone who's joined us today. We see you all at the AGM.